Today's edition of the Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller podcast for St. Patrick's Day. Perhaps I should do the whole thing in a very thick Irish accent. Eh? Top the morning to you. We can have a pint of Guinness. No, screw that, because my Irish, Scottish, and Cockney all sort of bleed together. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host, and I'm not even drunk yet. Welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning in, telling a friend, spreading the word, and all that good stuff. I appreciate the hell out of it, as I always do. It's as we're all hunkering down, we can all kind of hunker down together, right? You know, we can pass the time. Geez, what a mess. I'm thinking is that maybe, because I was able to interview Joe Concha on Friday, thanks to a microphone sent in by a listener like you, and update the software, and it sounded pretty good. And it's all because of the support that you guys show this show and the Patreon account, which is patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. So thank you for all of that. I'm wondering if maybe, since we can't do it live, just because we can't do it live, I wouldn't even know. I'm too technologically illiterate to do that. But I'm curious to know what you guys would think of a pseudo call-in show. It's obviously would be recorded, but it would be, I'd get a couple of you to email in your questions or whatever, and call you on Skype at a predetermined time, not just randomly, and have a chat for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes or something, and record it and play it on the program. Because some of you guys are, you make some really good points in the emails, you raise some really good questions, and I think that it could be useful. I mean, you could just tell me that's a crazy idea, stupid, forget it. You'd much rather I interview Quinn and just read the emails on the air. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here because, well, this is all flying by the seat of my pants. So, but now that I have, because the old Skype, when I tried to record at home with Skype, it sounded absolutely like crap. And now it sounds pretty damn good with that microphone. So I think it would be doable. Anyway, something to think about for the future. I'm curious your thoughts if you'd want to hear a show every once in a while like that. Not every day. I simply don't have the time to do it every day. But every once in a while, do something like that. Because I'd like to hear your stories. And I think other people would like to hear other people's stories about what they're going through, what they're doing, what they're seeing right now in particular. I can only convey what I see and what you guys send me in emails. So I think that's something to look into. Anyway, you can email the show, Derek@dailycaller.com. Like I said, the Patreon website is patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. I am sitting in my basement. I got one cat to my right, one cat to my left, one cat to my front. I don't know where the other cat is. And I've got two kids watching Frozen on an iPad who refuse to go to sleep. Yeah, usually Bailey, the younger one, the year and a half old, is asleep at this point, but her sleep schedule, she got a late nap, and it's going to be a long night. Let's just put it that way. All right, we've got a lot of ground to cover and a lot of things to get to, so let's get to it, shall we? But first, we tip our hat to Life Change Tea. I got an email just yesterday about somebody. He's like, thank you for Life Change Tea. It has helped me out immeasurably, and it does. You go to getthetea.com. You check out all the products they have there, actually. It's not just tea. It's supplements. It's everything you could ever want. And you get I recommend to get the tea because it helps keep your regular, cleans you out. And right now, you need all the nutrition and the food you can possibly get. And that helps you cleaned out to be able to absorb all the nutrition from the food you can possibly get. And at checkout, see, I'm not drunk. It just sounds like it. And at checkout, if you enter promo code Derek, my name, you get free shipping, and they ship pretty quick, so you can't beat that. Saves you a little money in your pocket, helps support the program, makes you feel better. Promo code Derek, don't forget to click apply, and you will be well on your way to more energy and feeling better about yourself and being regular. Use as directed. Do not drink all of the tea at once. Follow the instructions. They're very explicit, and your problems, if you do not follow the instructions, will be very explicit as well. Okay, I want to start off, obviously, this is coronavirus. There's not much else happening. There were supposed to be votes in Ohio today, votes in other states. States are canceling it as of now, as of this recording. Who knows what will happen by the time we all wake up. Florida is going ahead with voting. I'll be curious to see the turnout models. It's kind of interesting because Bernie Sanders does well with young people, but young people don't vote. They don't show up to vote. And Joe Biden does well with old people. Well, old people show up in droves to vote. But old people are being told, rightly so, that coronavirus targets them with more severe issues and health problems than, you know, younger people. So do the older people show up to the polling places in Florida? I'm kind of curious to see if that happens. I honestly don't think they should. To be truthful with you, I don't think they should. I don't think you should just take a risk like that. It's not worth it to vote in a primary. And now you know you can request an absentee ballot for the fall or whatever. But that's my opinion. I could be wrong. I don't know that there's a right opinion on this one, but I know that if Michigan were voting and Michigan didn't have vote by mail and my father were contemplating going to the polling place to vote because it's his civic duty and he's always voted and blah, 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 I would do everything I could to stop him. My dad lives in a very, very remote area. I feel confident in his ability to avoid this mess for at least now. And I wouldn't want, it pisses me off when I find out he went and got milk. It's like, just buy a bunch of milk, Dad. Or how about this? Go without milk. I'm having him, hopefully Wednesday, supposed to be, a shipment of Omaha steaks is showing up in my dad's house. I sent him $200 worth of Omaha steaks and side dishes and everything I think that he'd have room for. He's got a lot of food in the freezer, but I just wanted to have variety because I know that if you're stuck in your house, you could have 500 packages of bologna and the ability to make all the bread in the world. So you're safe and you'll be fine if you had to stay shut in your house for a month because you got so much bologna and flour and everything to make bread. Well, you can get bored of bologna sandwiches. You really can. So people will venture out. Most people can venture out. I will venture out. I will go to the grocery store like I did on Saturday at 3 o'clock in the morning because there are fewer people there and I just don't want to deal with panicked buying or whatever. But somebody like my dad, if he was sitting there eating bologna nonstop, would go, to hell with this. I'm going to the grocery store. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm 78 years old, 79 years old. I don't need to listen to anybody. I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to let anybody do anything to me. And that's not really the point. He's got a bad hip. So when he gets to the store, he rides that little cart around. How do I know that cart has been wiped down? I don't know the person who was there before. Didn't, at least as of now, the northern part of Michigan where he lives hasn't had any cases. One much further north, but that's it. So even though he'd be likely be safe, I just don't want to take the, I don't want him taking that risk. I'm never going to be able to stop him completely from taking that risk, but I can postpone him taking that risk or give him less reason to take that risk. If he's like, I'm bored of eating spaghetti, I'm bored of eating soups, he can now say, ooh, I can have a steak, I can have a filet mignon and some beans. That's pretty good. All right, that's a nice change of pace from whatever. I can have a hamburger, I can have this, I can have that. So I would recommend to people out there that if you have elderly parents or grandparents, you look into something like this. You can still get things delivered. Commerce is still going on. People are still doing their jobs. You, even for yourself, if you don't want to go out, if you have a compromised immune system, you have cystic fibrosis or whatever. My Uncle Jack lived to be, I think it was his late 40s or early 50s with cystic fibrosis. At the time, I believe he was the oldest or one of the oldest to live with cystic fibrosis ever. If you have respiratory issues or any of the other warning signs, I would look into these sorts of delivery things. It's outside of the norm. It's outside of your comfort zone. I get it. I like to pick through the steaks and go, ooh, this one looks marbled. This one looks good. I'm going to get this pack instead of that pack. But we're in different times. You'll probably be fine, but what if you're a carrier? What if you get somebody else sick? That's what I couldn't live with. I don't want to get sick, but I sure as hell don't want to get somebody else sick. I would be devastated if I got my family sick, or, you know, my family's young enough that, thank God, or hopefully, knock on wood, that we'd be fine. But we have neighbors. There are people who go to the grocery store, who go to wherever, the gas station, wherever you got to go, that I wouldn't be able to live with myself very well if I knowingly took a risk just because I was bored and got somebody else exposed. I don't know that I have it. I don't think I have it, but you get the point I'm saying, because there are a lot of people out there. I talked to some of them on my radio show. I've gotten emails from them from my radio show about, I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. You're going to be paranoid. I'm like, okay, you can be a jackass all you want. One guy said, yeah, well, I asked him if you could live with that. If you got somebody sick and you knowingly, your neighbor sick and they died, would you be able to live with that? Said, well, that's how life goes. It doesn't have to be how life goes. You know, people die all the time. That doesn't mean you get hammered and get behind the wheel of a car because, well, you know, you got to go sometime. There are steps we can take right now that are inconvenient. Inconvenient. Let's be honest. That's what they are. Inconvenient. And that's it. That will help people in the long run. And if you can't do that much, then I don't know what to tell you. I wouldn't know how you'd live with something knowing that you had it, or you could have been exposed to it, but you feel fine, so you don't think you're a problem, and you end up infecting somebody who is elderly or compromised, and they end up getting even just seriously ill. Just knowing that you caused that. I don't know how you would deal with that as a human being, but apparently there are a lot of people out there who can deal with it. On the other side, I got an email here that I thought was interesting from Amy. Amy listens all the time. She's been listening for almost the whole time. Hell, we're almost up to, like I said, episode 500 is like next Friday, or I don't know. I forget what episode we're on right now. We're like 15 away or something. What did I number the last one? I'm probably off by one, but I've got, this is episode 486. And so whenever that means that episode 500 comes up. Amy's been around for a very long time. She writes in, "Hi, Derek. I just got around to listening to this morning's podcast, and I also heard some of the radio show. With all of the measures being taken to prevent the spread of the virus, I have to wonder about what happens next flu season. I am in no way being a smartass here when I say that I am still trying to wrap my head around why this germ has warranted the response that it has. Maybe I have missed some news because I do not sit glued to the TV. I was under the impression that the mortality rate is relatively low, and that old people and immune compromised people or people with other health problems were the ones at risk. Is that not the same scenario we face every year with the latest strain of flu? Plus, the flu also kills small children. So if that is accurate," Amy continues, "why are these measures not taken each flu season? Or more to the point, will they now be taken each flu season? Next year, even if the coronavirus has been beaten somehow, how will politicians rationalize not doing the things they are doing now? How ill how will they have the testicular fortitude to face the mother of a child with asthma or cystic fibrosis attending a public school? Will they tell that mom that the flu bug that is hitting her town does not warrant closing the schools and restaurants, etc., even if her child is at great risk each time he interacts with the public? This is my fear. I understand being cautious in the cold months, washing hands, avoiding people when you are ill. I also have lived each winter with the knowledge that people can be spreading germs before they realize that they themselves are sick. What makes this so different that it does what makes this so different, and what does it mean for the future? Thanks, Amy. Well, Amy, as best as I can tell from my research and from what I've been seeing and reading, is this coronavirus is much more contagious than the flu. It's new. We also don't know much about it because it's new, but people are some people have infected up to 14 people, one case that I heard of. It's the exception, not the rule, but it is wildly contagious, and you can spread it pretty significantly before you show any symptoms, or if you may never show any symptoms. Your body may handle it, but you can spread it still. The reason that this freakout is happening now, and I agree with you, this is unprecedented and it would be horrible, and why wouldn't we do this all the time if that's the case, is because while the flu in general can, and it depends, there are a bunch of different strains of the flu, so every flu shot that you get is not a panacea for all flu viruses. It's the best guess of what the doctors think is likely to be the prevalent strain of flu that year. And most years they get it wrong. Some years they get it right. And it helps in either event because they all circulate all the time. It's just one is more dominant than the other. Coronavirus is different in that you can, it appears, get simultaneously with the flu. And it has a much higher mortality rate. And it's tenfold is what they say. Now, that doesn't sound like much when you're talking about a 0.1% versus a 1%. 1% is still pretty small. But when you recognize that that 1% is concentrated in a small segment of the population, then you begin to see that there could be a serious wipeout of people in that of population that you laid out there. Plus, that low mortality rate that we have so far, and thank God for it, is due in part because of extraordinary medical measures taken by not only this country, but medical professionals around the world. So you have a situation where, yes, some people end up with the flu. A lot of people end up with the flu, and a lot of people end up being hospitalized because of the flu. Now imagine triple that number, double or triple that number, being hospitalized on top of it, in addition to it. Well, there are only a certain number of beds, intensive care unit beds around the country. There are only a certain number of respirators. All of this has worked so far so well for the country, but we're being hit with a double whammy, a very contagious double whammy that could easily, should things spread rapidly and viciously, could overwhelm the hospital system. So that would mean that not only would people with coronavirus experience a higher death rate than has already been exhibited because of the extreme medical measures we've been able to take, it would mean other people with medical conditions would suffer as well. Intensive care unit beds are not just for people with coronavirus. There are any number of people get infections, have surgeries, have car accidents, whatever it, you know, any sort of situation that is life-threatening will put you in an intensive care unit. Well, if those units are overwhelmed, it affects everybody across the board. So if you're 25 years old and you think you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof because you're in the group least likely to be impacted by coronavirus, great, congratulations. You probably are. But if you get into a car accident and you helped spread and people helped spread coronavirus and you have to be rushed to a hospital, to an intensive care unit that is overwhelmed with other people where all the beds are full and you're having to deal with a makeshift situation, that is going to impact your health. That could add to the taking of your life. So in that sense, it is more protecting the system as a whole as it currently exists than it is fear of coronavirus. It's coronavirus could overwhelm the system. Let me try and put it to you this way. The supply chain in this country for food and paper goods and everything that's all at your grocery store is very strong. It is still functioning completely. Without a doubt, it is working. Your grocery store is receiving shipments every single day. We are not out of food in this country. Far from it, as a matter of fact. But there is a shortage because the demand has gone up. So you can go to the grocery store because you need egg or milk or whatever, and you can't find it. You say you need toilet paper. You're going to have difficulty probably finding toilet paper. There's just as much toilet paper being made today as there was last month, as there was last year, because that was the businesses found that was the right amount of toilet paper to not have giant warehouses full of toilet paper and having spent a whole bunch of money that you're not recouping a return on that investment for. You want to ideally have enough to meet the demand. So you save on production and you keep this nice equilibrium. Well, there's suddenly been a spike in demand, a big spike in demand that some people around the country can't find staples for their pantry, staples for their diets. That's a bit of a problem, you see. That's not a supply problem. It is a demand problem. Spike. It's an artificial demand spike in the case of food, in the case of grocery stores, but it is a demand spike. Now imagine that in the healthcare realm where you have ICU beds as the toilet paper of hospitals. Bless you, Bailey. They have ICU beds as the toilet paper, and you can't find ICU beds. So you say, well, I'll use Kleenex, or I'll use paper towel, or I'll use wet wipes, or whatever. And that's what will have to happen. They will have to create less than ideal ICU beds, which is, you know, problematic. It lowers the prospect for a good health outcome for people who would otherwise be better served in an ICU bed as it currently exists. So that's what we're facing here. That is why these extraordinary measures are being taken. And I understand it's a massive inconvenience. It seems like an overreaction, but it's much better, I think, to overreact a little for a while then underreact, then react late to it and end up being overwhelmed. Going forward, I don't know what the right answer is. They started the clinical trials on human beings yesterday for the coronavirus vaccine. We'll find out. That process is being streamlined very quickly. There are other issues that there are reports, and apparently doctors around the world, and I know some of them, are using a drug called chloroquine that treats malaria that may well help recover much more quickly and much more effectively from coronavirus for anybody who takes it, even at-risk people. We will find that answer out soon, too. So in the short term, in order to avoid the collapse of the entire healthcare system, the overrun of the healthcare system, and bad outcomes for even more people, we have to take some kind of measures. You can argue all day long whether or not we're going too far, but something has to be done. this is going to be painful in the short term, but life is a long-term issue. Everybody always says, oh, life will fly past you. And if you think back to your high school days, you go, God, that just seems like yesterday. But it wasn't just yesterday. It was years ago. It was decades ago, depending on your age. And if you are conscious of time, time passes very, very slowly. So life is long, unless you compare it to something like the history of human existence or the history of the planet and the universe. Compared to, and as far as we know, in the perspective we have, life is very short. Or life is very long. Life feels short sometimes. Time flies when you're having fun, for example. But let's be honest about this situation. A temporary inconvenience. Society survived the Spanish flu. Society has survived a lot worse than this. Now we have the ability, hopefully, at least the wherewithal to at least try to get out in front of something like this. So nothing's going to stop you from going over and visiting your friends and going to your friends' houses or whatever, if that's what you want to do. If you're comfortable doing that, nobody's going to stop you. Maybe in some places they will try to stop you. But in general, nobody's coming to my house. I got friends, I got stuff, I got like, oh man, I'd like to have my friend Todd over. I got some stuff I want to show him and we watch a movie or play some video games or something like that. And I say, but yeah, nobody's coming in my house right now. It's just not going to happen. Why? Because I got two kids and I got a wife and I got me. And so it's an unnecessary risk. Does it suck? Yeah. I was supposed to go golfing last Friday, but Brian started having a cough. He's fine now, by the way, but he was coughing that day, and he said, I don't want to take that risk. I don't know that, you know, and I said, fine, that's fine. So we didn't go golfing. Now golfing is outside. We can get our own carts. We can be away from each other. We can just, you know, BS as we play golf. But he didn't want to take the risk, and I said, absolutely, let's not take the risk. Let's do it. Plus, I think he was afraid of losing to me, to be perfectly honest. But it's a choice everybody has to make. And I would suggest that it's really not that much to ask. I see all these people out there on social media going, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And I get the emails, nobody's going to tell me what to do. You can live like a coward all you want. I wish it were just you get it and you're impacted by it. And you can make that decision. Think of it like smoking. You know the risks. You choose to smoke. You choose not to smoke. Okay, that's fine. This isn't like smoking. This is like you're being a smoker, like you're making other people smoke without knowing that you're a smoker and without them knowing that you're a smoker. Think of it in those terms. In the grand scheme of things, this isn't too much to ask to preserve the healthcare system. In the future, maybe we'll devise a system to have more ICU beds. But under normal circumstances, we don't need more ICU beds. This is about protecting the healthcare system. Plus, if doctors start getting exposed to it and getting sick with it, there are only so many doctors. I love seeing these politicians go, we need more. Bernie Sanders the other day in the debate, we need more doctors. Okay, well, do you have a magic wand? Because a doctor isn't something that you, it's not like learning to code, as they're telling all these coal miners and everything. You can't just take an online correspondence course and 6 weeks later, you're ready to go and work for Facebook. Being a doctor is a little bit more specialized than that. And to be a specialist like a virologist, you got to do a lot more than the 4 years of medical school. So we're not on the verge of having more doctors. Also, to be a good doctor, you got to want to be a doctor. You can't just conscript people into becoming a doctor. That's another problem that Bernie has there. I think most people who want to be doctors are currently doctors or in medical school or on the path to that. So we're not going to be able to just magically create more doctors. We have to deal with the situation that we have. In poker, you play the cards you're dealt. You don't get to just make them up. You don't get to play another hand. You don't get to swap your cards out unless you're playing some screwed up version of poker. So that's why, Amy, that's why everybody, that this is going on and why it's got so many people concerned. It's not a global conspiracy. You'd be surprised. Some people think that this is a global conspiracy to try and crash the U.S. economy, or this is a global conspiracy to try and hurt Donald Trump. The media certainly is trying to hurt Donald Trump. They're trying to spin this more to hurt Donald Trump than otherwise it warrants. They're trying to spin up hysteria. But the rest of the world would not collapse their economy to hurt Donald Trump or to ruin the U.S. economy. Italy's economy is going to be devastated when this is over, and hopefully this will be over fairly soon. When the good thing about humanity and the good thing about the United States in particular is the innovation, the entrepreneurial spirit and the innovative spirit that we have in this country, more so than any other country on the face of the earth. If you look at the discoveries in medicine, the discoveries in drugs in the world, the vast majority of them happen here in the United States because A, there's a profit motive, and B, we have that mentality instilled into us that you can do anything. Sadly, that's being less and less instilled, but it is still instilled in people. So we have people working on this problem. I think sooner rather than later, somebody will come up with a treatment or a vaccine or whatever. I got an email today, and this just drives me nuts while I'm on the subject here. And this whole show is, good Lord, I'm already like halfway through the freaking show. But being a host of a podcast and being, and having guests on, it being a fairly popular podcast, and being a host of a radio show, I get email pitches from PR firms all the time. And I got one yesterday, and I get it. People want to take advantage of the situation, and you pay a PR professional to send you something. But the headline of this one, is a coronavirus vaccine the answer? Yeah. Yeah, it is. But this guest, this idiot, the subject line or the thing is our expert on the dangers of vaccines. It's a vaccine truther. It's an anti-vaxxer person. And it's just not the time to have this freaking debate, right? I mean, is this really the time to have this debate? But you pay somebody and you say, well, you know, the preservatives in vaccines cause this and cause that and cause the other thing. And it's like, is that really, if we come up with a coronavirus vaccine, God bless the people who did it. And those people taking the tests and being, you know, inoculated and then being infected by the virus that started yesterday, God bless those people. Those are people are every bit as brave as the first astronauts, to be honest with you, because they strapped themselves to a rocket and they thought, okay, I hope this thing stays together. I hope this thing gets me up there and I don't die in this thing, but I'm willing to take that risk for humanity. The same thing for people getting the vaccine trials. That is amazing. They're heroes. They should be put on stamps. They should be put on TV shows. They won't be because they'd rather have some bomb thrower nut job bitch about the president or something like that. So we're living in a world of screwed up priorities. Something like this could reset our priorities, make people realize that our priorities are screwed up and maybe we should look in a different direction. Then again, it could not. When you're getting, you know, hey, have this anti-vaxxer on to try and scare the hell out of people. There are people out there who are selling cures and treatments for it, all natural cures and treatments for coronavirus. There are things you can do to boost your immune system, but there is no cure or treatment for coronavirus. Every once in a while you hear something or see something on Facebook where they're like, this is what you need to take in order to... If there were a magic pill or some fungus or some herb or some extract or something out there that was effective, it would be everywhere. Nobody is gaining by pretending that this secret cure that some host is pitching is out there. No one's gaining by ignoring the fact that it's out there. It's insane that anybody would fall for this. But that's what you do, is sort of the any port in a storm mentality. So I would just recommend that everybody stay calm. It's inconvenient. It seems like an overreaction. But to avoid something potentially much worse, we have to take some extraordinary measures now. If you don't like it, nobody can stop you from doing whatever it is you do. But I would just ask you the question is, could you really comfortably live with yourself if you got somebody sick? I don't think I could. That's just me. I don't think I could. In other coronavirus news, as cities and states are shutting restaurants and public places and lecturing the public about it, there's still hypocrisy in the world. Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, is just a dumb person. He's a dumb person, and he's a raging hypocrite, as most liberals are. And he went to the gym yesterday. Why? Well, because he's a jackass. The New York Post has the story. Mayor Bill de Blasio on Monday night offered a defense for hitting his favorite public gym in Brooklyn before new coronavirus prevention rules went into effect, saying it's all good because he lives in, quote, the regular world. Can you imagine that? He's telling people to stay home. He's telling people to avoid public places, to do this, to do that, follow. It's very important. And then he goes out. This isn't your run-of-the-mill hypocrisy. This is something special. During his weekly appearance on New York One's Inside City Hall, His Honor fired back at former confidants and longtime advisor Rebecca Katz and Jonathan Rosen for ripping his decision earlier in the day to visit the Prospect Park YMCA for one last workout before all fitness facilities in the state were ordered effectively shut at 8 p.m. Monday. So he knew it. It's coming. He signed the order, or knew the order. He didn't do it, but they knew the order was coming. And he's pushing it and telling people, you've got to obey this order. And what does he do? He runs out there for one last thing. This reminds me of the story, by the way, back during the Kennedy administration. I was long away from being alive from the Kennedy administration, but Kennedy was the one who issued the embargo against Cuban goods, including Cuban cigars. Well, Kennedy knew that he was going to do that, so I don't know how true this is, but it wouldn't surprise me that any politician would do this, that before he did that, he had aides go out around the city and buy up a bunch of Cuban cigars for him. He liked Cuban cigars. Cuban cigars are pretty damn good, the few that I've had in my life anyway. So before he banned them all, he wanted to make sure that he had a supply. Now, if this were a stock, he would be in prison for insider trading. But he's president of the United States. He's ordering an embargo. And that embargo, now he can supersede it so that he's not impacted for a very, very long time. De Blasio, he's supporting the closing of these places, but he's going to go by one last time while lecturing everybody else that they've got to stay home and they've got to be careful and they've got to take precautions and blah, 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 blah. De Blasio said, quote, I respect them both. They can say what they want, but I think this is just a perverse reaction, honestly. I have been making extremely serious, difficult decisions nonstop, and then talking to people in a very forthright manner about them. There's something wrong in a world where this kind of very small matter gets blown up like that by people, you know, who live in the world of public relations. I don't live in that world. I live in the regular world. Now, isn't that kind of funny? It's ironic. Don't go out. Don't go home. Don't take unnecessary trips. We're shutting everything down at 8 o'clock tonight. No restaurants and bars. All you can do is get takeout. You can't go to the gym anymore. It's for your own safety. Now, excuse me while I go to the gym. The hypocrisy is so smelly and so thick that you can probably taste it in your mouth right now. And for those of you out there who think that you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof because you are young, I just want to point out this story also from the New York Post. A 21-year-old Spanish soccer coach was killed by the coronavirus while also battling leukemia, according to a report. Sad, tragic, 21 years old, has leukemia. You could have something significantly less. You could just have asthma. You're not immune. Nobody is 10 feet tall or bulletproof, and nobody ever has been. So just be smart out there. It's not too much to ask. It's inconvenient, sure, but how about this? You acquaint yourself with your family. Everybody who lives alone, you got FaceTime, you got video chatting. There are options. Avail yourself of them. Just for, if not because you care about yourself, but maybe because the nice lady who lives down the hall or the nice guy you see on the elevator sometimes. It's time to every once in a while think about somebody else and think about the system as a whole. Speaking of which, the system as a whole, the governor of Ohio has ordered the Secretary of State, I believe, or the Attorney General, to shut all of the elections down. They were supposed to have an election today. Mike DeWine, the Republican governor of Ohio, said, "This is nuts. We're not going to do this." And he can't unilaterally cancel it. So he had to sue to cancel it. And the court said, "No, this has got to go on. You have no power to stop this." And you end up in a situation where he is defying the courts. He is having the government defy the courts. How that will work out will be an interesting thing to see, but it is probably for the best. But you want to hear a stupid take. This is from Larry Sabato. Now, Larry Sabato is one of the TV's favorite political guys. He's director of the University of Virginia Center for Politics. He's written a ton of books, blah, blah, blah. Every time he says, oh, you hear, oh, Larry Sabato says that this is leaning that way and the other one's leaning the other way. Larry Sabato tweeted out, "Governor DeWine has unilaterally removed his state from a position of influence in the Democratic presidential race. March 17th may decide the Biden-Sanders contest. Not impossible that he is lengthening the D fight and helping Trump carry Ohio again. All coincidental, of course." Really? Do you really think that a situation like this, any situation like this, is going to be particularly helpful to anybody? Particularly, oh, you know what? Mike DeWine says, to hell with it. I'm going to shut down the Democrats to try and make their primary last longer to help Donald Trump win Ohio again 6-7 months from now. Everything is political. There's so much stupidity out there. It makes your head hurt. It makes your brain hurt. You got George Takei, Mr. Sulu, George Takei. He tweeted out yesterday, breaking. Due to massive incompetence and inexplicable delay, the World Health Organization to rename COVID-19 to Covife 45. You see, George likes to blame Donald Trump for everything. I actually have a friend who is good friends with George Takei. I once got to spend a couple of hours with him and his husband, Brad. Brad was much nicer and way more conservative than George is. And they couldn't have been nicer. But George is an incredibly dumb guy. So I asked him, or he was asked. It was at a radio station. I think I planted the question. I can't remember. But George was interned in a Japanese internment camp as a child. George goes to and he talks about it constantly, and that's fine. It's his life. He can talk about it constantly as a massive injustice. He did a big Broadway play about it. But the Democrats did that to George. Franklin Delano Roosevelt did that to George and his family. It wasn't Republicans. And when asked about that, how he can be such a fervent, ardent Democrat after, you know, the defining moment of his life when he was a child was imposed upon him by Democrats. How do you square that circle? And his answer was so convoluted. it had to do with court decisions out in California, as though FDR was essentially pressured because Republicans were going to do it anyway. Republicans didn't have any power. Republicans weren't going to do this. FDR didn't swoop in and say, well, if Republicans are going to do this, fine, I'll do it. FDR did this on his own. Democrats were fine with it. The Republicans were mostly fine with it, too. But to pretend that it wasn't a Democrat thing takes a level of denial of reality that is rarely seen on Earth these days, except for maybe by the flat earthers. So that is what you're dealing with some of these people. George Takei, most of the people you see on television know that what they're saying is a lie. They know that they're spreading lies, BS, misinformation, fake news, whatever you want to label it. But they aren't scientists. They aren't even journalists. They're paid pundits. They're there to play a role, a very specific role, and they happily do it, and they're paid well for it. George does it for free. George is dumb. You can at least sort of understand. It's evil. It's stupid. There's something wrong with them, the people who do it for a paycheck. The people who do it for free, they're just flat out dumb. And this situation, most situations, but this one in particular, has really highlighted just how dumb some people are. How far gone we are from a society of people who have any intellectual capacity. You think, well, people are rational beings and they'll act rationally. No, they are not. People are incredibly stupid. That's why there is a concerted effort right now on social media by the communist Chinese government to lay the seeds of doubt around the world that the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus actually started in China, in the Wuhan province. They're trying to defend themselves against that and any liability, any negativity that may come from it, any future sanctions for their massive mishandling and denial of it. You want to talk about incompetence, George? Look at your Chinese communist friends. But you don't want to do that. You'd much rather blame the United States because you find it politically convenient and helpful to your cause. That's what I mean when I say this is a sickness. Liberalism is a sickness. They side actively with the Chinese communists. Congressman Ted Lieu of California, a sick individual who despises Donald Trump and despises this country because we dared elect him, tweeted out in the face of the president, again referring it to it as the Wuhan virus, because that's what it was until Republicans said it. He said, "Dear President Trump, Asian Americans will likely encounter more discrimination because of your tweet. Please stop your unnecessary rhetoric. COVID-19 is now an American virus, an Italian virus, a Spanish virus. We are all impacted and we need to work together." That might as well have been written by Xi Jinping over in Beijing and just handed off to Ted Lieu. Protect China. Make sure China doesn't suffer long-term economic impact. God forbid companies pull back from China after this because of their massive mishandling. People should pull back from China. It would be great to have more domestic production of things that are absolutely necessary in a medical emergency. But to have a member of Congress come out and essentially say, stop saying this, this hurts us. Nobody's getting attacked because of this. If you're going out and attacking somebody, and the only footage I've seen thus far to date of anybody being attacked with anti-Asian slurs or anything related to the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus because they are Asian, is actually the videos I've seen have been Latino or Hispanic or whatever the hell, Latinx people bitching at Asians, spraying them with Lysol, things like that. Somebody confronting somebody on LA public transportation, something like that. These are not Republican voters. Your average American of any race doesn't fall for this crap. But your average liberal believes that your average American lives like this, that your average American really is just access away from access to a pickup truck away from rounding up the boys and going out and beating up people who look different from them. They despise you. They hold you in contempt. But realistically, what they're doing is the bidding of the Chinese Communist government. There's a lot of simpatico there when it comes to policies. And to see a member of Congress parroting, look, I get members of the media have been parroting. NBC News has been running propaganda pieces that might as well have been written by the Chinese government. It really is disgusting. It's bizarre. But this is the modern left. I don't know what else to call it. I want to point out one more thing on this that after this is done could be a silver lining and could really significantly help us recover going forward economically. The government is going to be dumping money into everything and throwing money at you and me and everybody else. Mitt Romney's floating the idea of giving every American $1,000, for example. I like the idea of postponing the tax filing deadline from April 15th back to July 15th. The government could do that, for example. I would like to see that because I'm going to have to write a check to the government, and I'd much rather delay that as long as humanly possible, interest-free. And they're talking about deferring student loans. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Things like that, just to make sure, look, if people aren't going to be able to work, you can't have them, especially the bills that government has control over, can't be imposing on them. Yeah, you can't work, but also pay me all the taxes that you owe at the same time. Well, you can't go to H&R Block. You can't go to any tax preparer, but get me your taxes on time or pay a massive fine. It'd be nice if they were a little bit understanding of those things. So I expect some kind of action on that. As far as all the other proposals, Mitt Romney's proposal, I'm not a super big fan of that, but if I was sent a check in the mail by the government, I'd cash it, not going to lie. I don't think the government should do that, but I'd cash it, and I think everybody else would too. But what I really want to talk about as far as what could be a way forward is not really economic stimulus. It would have secondary economic effects that would be positive. What we're seeing across the country and from Washington is the waiving of an offering of exemptions to rules and regulations throughout the country that are in place that most people didn't know were in place that add to the cost of everything. Every little bit of regulation means that it just costs money. You got to comply with it. You got to enforce it. So the cost of compliance costs money. The cost to enforce costs money. It just adds up little bit after little bit after little bit. And it's important to note. And this tweet from the governor of Texas made me realize this. Greg Abbott, Texas governor, tweeted, quote, "To get more supplies in our grocery stores more quickly, I will remove any regulatory barrier that stands in the way. Texas is now allowing trucks that deliver alcohol to also deliver grocery supplies." Now, you think about that, and you think, just because it carries alcohol, it couldn't carry grocery supplies? Like, what the hell is going on? And you get a glimpse of just how gigantic government has gotten and how intrusive government has gotten into every aspect of life and every aspect of business, down to the point that if you're driving a truck delivering liquor and, you know, the wholesale supplier where you're picking the stuff up before you take it off to the stores or whatever also distributes chips or whatever, you say, well, you know what, I've got a half full truck, why don't you throw some chips or some bread or whatever the hell it is that you're going to the Safeway anyway, could you drop these off as well? It would make perfect sense. You can't do that now. We're noticing these sorts of regulations left and right. The president is continually, as they're discovered, and you notice, they always say, well, what took so long for this regulation to be waived? Because most people didn't know it existed. Even the people whose job it is to govern these things, they either keep it a secret or they didn't know it existed. Companies largely know they exist because if they cross the federal government line or the state government line, they're going to get screwed. They're going to get hammered with fines. They could, in some cases, face prison time. But like when the private sector was saying, hey, we can't test for coronavirus because of these regulations. We need these regulations waived. And you're like, what? What is a normal American hearing that is like, why the hell can't anybody test for this stuff? What in the hell is, if you can do the test and it's accurate, you know what you're doing. You're not just flinging open your garage door and telling people you know what you're doing, but you don't know what you're doing. And nobody knows that you're not a doctor or anything like that, or a biologist or a chemist or whatever. Yeah, I get that. But to stop legitimate businesses from being able to do this and forcing everything to go through the CDC was a mess. It was never a factor before this because it was in place. It was a regulation, a federal regulation. Nobody knew about it because we never had a situation like this before. So it wasn't an issue. But somebody put that in place. Now it's been waived and great. People are able to get tests much more quickly. But why was it in place in the first place? Why should it be put in back in place? Maybe we should get rid of it altogether. There are a lot of laws and a lot of regulations that I suspect most people in government had no freaking clue existed that they're butting up against right now, and governors and the president and the government are moving quick to offer waivers for them. So when this is all over, if we could, maybe one of the side effects from this could be we take a serious look at the size of government and the amount of things that government does, and more importantly, the barriers that government puts in the way of the private sector acting quickly, then maybe we'd all be better off for it. The FDA is moving at laser speed because of the waivers and the removal of barriers on the testing of this coronavirus vaccine. It takes years to get anything through the FDA, and now we've got, what, a couple of months in? We're having human trials on a vaccine. That is incredible, and it's incredibly important, and we must all hope and pray that it go, even if it doesn't work, that it doesn't harm the people who are willing to step up and be the guinea pigs so that we all may have a treatment for this or a preventative measure of this thing. But if you look at what government is doing and you say, now, this sort of exposes the failures of big government, that big government has prevented the private sector from moving as quickly as it otherwise would have. And never forget that. The private sector, just because of size and profit motive, the private sector can move much more quickly than government can in a lot of areas. And this is one of them. There are innovations happening. There's a DC grocery store, a bookstore, that is offering, because, you know, these places do have to try and stay in business. I've been to this Capitol Hill Books, I think it's called. I've been to this place. It's a nice store. It's crammed with books. It's kind of small, a cramped space. And I could see why people wouldn't want to go up there. But I could see why people would go, I wish I could get a book. But I, you know, immediately, because I'd like to read tonight, not Amazon in 3 or 4 days since shipments are being delayed. Well, this store is offering their email address and through social media. Email us and we can reserve you an hour in our store. It'll just be you and our employee who will keep distant, and they'll be covered up and have Purell and all that stuff. So you can come in and reserve the store by the hour so that you can come in and buy books. That's a brilliant idea in the face of something like this. I think that more and more businesses will offer something like that. If you're a clothing store, a small boutique, or a used clothing store or whatever, you could set up, hey, come in for a half an hour, and you get a half an hour, you got to move quickly, and then the next person comes in after you, you got to be out 5 minutes before they show up. It's a way to keep commerce going and a sense of normalcy going at a time when we could use a little bit of normalcy. I don't recommend you go running out, but if you see these sorts of things popping up, it's much better than 20 people going to hell with it. I'm going to the store, and we're going to be in this cramped bookstore. The government can't tell me what to do. Government can't tell you what to do. The government can't protect you from yourself, but the government's trying to protect everybody from you. Okay, so there's innovation happening out there. I like seeing the government being exposed. But remember, I'll leave you with this final thought. The left's response to the failure of big government is bigger government. Imagine trying to make that argument with a straight face. Big government has failed us. We need bigger government. A partial government takeover has been nothing but interfering with the private sector moving, which has the tools and the innovation to do these things much more quickly. So what we need is a complete government takeover of these industries, of this system, of you name it. Keep that in mind and stay inside. Wash your hands. Play some games. Get to know your family again. Play some board games. I got to get the wife into board games. Anyway, thank you for listening and telling a friend and tuning in and all that good stuff. We'll be back tomorrow with the results of whatever states actually end up holding their primaries and all the news that happens between then and now. We'll see you then. Bye.